Hey, yo.
Hello.
Yes.
Listen, Ed Harris isn't here to dance for us, but no. I will put on a dance for us.
I don't know. I mean, we need to start the Patreon for that first.
True, you know? True.
Like true. Third tier.
The Ed Harris dance.
Third, yeah. Bob will reenact Ed Harris's part in that. I will just be the old lady coming out saying, "Will you turn that racket down?"
I'll no,
wear the same dress.
No, we have to. No, she's the worst villain of the whole movie, by the way.
She's the worst at Creepshow.
Yeah, she made them stop dancing.
Well, yeah, she stopped Ed Harris dancing. That doesn't necessarily make her a monster. I mean, like, it's not like she.
What else could it make her?
Cake.
Cake is good.
Cake is good.
But yes, we got an exciting show today.
Yes, we do.
So we got Civil War, the new Alex Garland movie. I'm a huge fan of his Annihilation. I thought Ex Machina was pretty good. I've heard bad things about Men, but I never got around to it. So I'm excited to see Civil War, and then we'll get into it. But what else? We got episodes 6 through 10 of Star Trek Discovery. Season one, we're working through the early years, and we got Fallout. The first 4 episodes of Fallout, we didn't do the whole season because, those episodes are long, but
they really were long.
Yeah. But that will be the topics for this week. I guess we just dive right into Civil War. Let me go ahead and pull that up. So as I was saying, I was really interested to see how Civil War would play out, because just looking at the trailers, the idea behind it seemed super, super dumb or kind of brilliant. And got this whole pillow. And I was kind of hopeful with Alex Garland behind it that it would be kind of brilliant. And I will say, spoilers, now that I've seen it, I thought it'd be one of those two options, and he actually went for a third option, where it's pretty good. I don't think I'll ever watch it again, but it's fine.
I might watch it again. Mm-hmm. I might, but I was thinking it could go either one of two ways as well, and I was surprised at the route it took.
Yeah, I would say it plays it safe. And maybe that's the best way to play something like this, because I do feel like kind of if I were to take any message away from this movie, it's that I don't feel there's any divisions right now in this country that is worth this civil war, like worth actually going out and killing each other. If I were to take any like takeaway from this movie, if this were to end up being a end result of all our conflicts, this is bad, obviously. That'd be my biggest takeaway. Like I said, it avoids actually going really too political. You definitely have implications. Nick Offerman. Oh yeah, there's even a picture of Nick Offerman. He is kind of a Trump-like president, but like not super obviously so. They don't play it up. Like honestly, I kind of expect him. I didn't expect like a Trump parody, but I expect him to play off that. No, Bobby, before we dive in, give your kind of general thoughts into this.
Well, I was worried it was like going to be right-wing propaganda right out of the gate. And then I saw the director who, that it was Alex Garland. I was like, oh, so it's not going that route. I'm curious if this will be a social commentary, which I think it pseudo sort of was.
Yeah.
In a way, but like they never really divulged like why all this happened, what it was initially over, or anything like that. So I don't know. I felt like that was probably a little bit underwhelming for me about it. I think it more so questions your own morality from the I think it's questions like your more of your own morality through the perspective of journalism.
Yeah, I mean, there is a commentary on that, because so essentially, like, the premise of the movie is that you have the Western forces. These are the forces of California and Texas, and then later joining is Florida, unifying together to do a revolution against the government. And at first, I'm like, I don't know what side is which. And then as time progresses, you follow the reporters as they're going through the country, essentially. And then you start seeing how the Western forces are fairly friendly to journalists, just broadcasting stuff and reporting stuff. And then you meet the official military, and they're pretty cold-blooded bastards.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so that kind of starts giving you the idea of, you know, which one's for free press and which one isn't.
Yeah.
There are some interesting story choices that kind of threw me. I'm like how they, like, I always, like, it, I was almost yelling at the theater at this. Like, essentially how they end up meeting the official army forces. By the way, the lead guy there is Jesse Plemons. He was creepy and everything. He's creepy here. He does a great job. How they end up meeting him is just a random car that we don't know about, and ends up having two of their friends in it. And then the one young reporter that's traveling with him decides, oh, you know what? Let's jump to that other car for some reason, because it looks like fun.
It did look like fun.
Yeah, but don't. I mean, you don't know these guys. And they're acting a little crazy. And they end up driving up, and then, yeah, the two guys get killed, and it felt kind of forced. I felt like you could have written that better.
I'll say that was just something
dumb to get.
They had that idea and they shot it, yeah. And then they realized we have no way to actually go into this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they even have a picture of this. So the other event that kind of drove me nuts. So they go to this like house where this creepy fucking setup, all set up.
It looked like a Santa setup, like one of those Christmas displays places, yeah.
Yeah, and then essentially they're freaking out, and then they decide, okay, we'll drive slowly, and yeah, the house has a sniper in it, and he's gunning down people who go in there, and they encounter these two soldiers on the ground as they're hiding, trying not to die, and then they're discussing stuff for a few moments, and then the soldier just makes a shot, and then that's it. The situation's resolved, and it's like, oh. That was the point of that scene? I guess kind of just to set the climate, but I don't know. I felt like they had already set the climate pretty decently, so I don't know.
Yeah, they kind of set it perfectly with the opening scene.
Yeah. So it felt like kind of a wasted opportunity for something there. I don't know. Like I said, like, I don't hate this movie. I think overall I enjoyed it, but it's fine. Like, I don't know if I'd recommend. I don't even know if I'd say go rush out and watch this in the theater. I'd say this might be fun to catch streaming, maybe, if you look for something to watch. That'd be kind of my takeaway. It's fine.
It was a little rough for me to watch DC getting stormed.
Yeah. That does look good, though. They did a good job showing that stuff.
That White House looked really good, especially from the inside.
They obviously had a White House set. Looked excellent. Yeah, when they're going through the White House looking for the president. And then I did like how the president's, like, final words were essentially, like, please don't kill me or some shit. I don't remember what they were, but I just remember thinking, yeah, that's probably about what he would say.
Don't let him kill me. And it's like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, or it's like, what's your quote for your final word? Don't let him kill me. It's like, oh, yep, that works. So it's. I also did think it was interesting when the soldiers are storming the White House and you have the press secretary saying, okay, we want to negotiate safe return. It's like, I remember just in the theater, like, what are you negotiating with? Like, what do you have at this point? They're in the building.
The president.
Yeah. Yeah, you just have the president. They're going to eventually get to him.
What got me frustrated with that is like, why are they talking? Like, why are they letting this happen right now? Like, if they're as committed to this to do what they've done, if they've gone this far, like, why are they entertaining this?
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe if the president had something to offer, but he wasn't even offering anything. It was just like his life. And it's like, what's the value of your life, man? They're here to kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, like, I think it's fine. I'd say, you know, check it out when it comes to streaming. That'd be my recommendation. How about you, Bobby?
Yeah, definitely. Check it out when it comes to streaming. It's, if you want to go to the theater, watch it. I'd recommend the standard format. I opted for an early viewing, and the only early was the X experience, or the like the high definition one. Yeah.
I know I end up doing Dolby because I was going by myself, and I get three tickets, so I can do any theater I want. So I was like, Dolby's always nice, and I don't know if it had anything.
I mean, it was cool to, like, my seat was shaking for every helicopter shot, which was all right. That was cool.
Yeah,
I guess.
Nifty. Yeah. It's fine. All right, so next up, Star Trek Discovery, the middle part of season one.
You're good at spacing these out and leaving cliffhangers, man. I just got to say that to you.
I'm just trying to do digestible segments at this point.
Yeah.
Discovery season one. I feel like this season's doing now it's gonna stop. Can I pause it? Okay. No, we're just not gonna have that on there. It's gonna be too distracting. Anyways, watching the middle half of this season is like fine. Like, I was kind of impressed with the beginning, and I feel like the middle half, what I'm kind of seeing is the good thing I'd say about season one is I feel like the episodes are decent and kind of do a decent story. Although we haven't fully got into it because we just started into it. The season does end with them in the Mirror Universe. And I guess minor spoilers for the rest, Bobby, they're going to spend the rest of the season in the Mirror Universe.
So up is down and all that. Yeah.
Yes. And far my issue at this point, and maybe I'll have a reassessed thoughts when I rewatch it. But my issue before was that, like, I didn't feel like I was comfortable enough with these characters to suddenly see, like, deal with the Mirror Universe counterparts of these characters. I feel like that's something you do after you've already well established these characters. Then go ahead
Agreed.
And put them on their head and have some.
Agreed, because I found it harder for me to, like, stay hooked in or engaged with it.
Mm-hmm. Now, we will see. Maybe that, upon rewatch, I'll be like, oh, you know what? They handled this okay, but I was going to say, Mirror Universe is just, it's something to hold back on, I feel.
Agreed. There were episodes in this segment of this block that we watched that I did thoroughly enjoy. Like, there are ones that I did enjoy, but there were a lot that I kind of felt were snoozers. But that's my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, I liked the return of Rainn Wilson in the 30-minute time loop. I liked that.
Yeah, that was...
I always like that when they do that in Star Trek. So, like, yeah, I like that. Those. Oh, gosh.
I think he's a good casting for Harry Mudd, although he's a lot darker than normal Harry Mudd.
I really enjoyed the stuff with the Sarek episode. Like, I really liked that one.
Oh, yeah. It's nice to have Sarek back, too. Like, I know lots of people complain about the Michael being a retcon to be, like, essentially Spock's adopted sister. I don't know. I like it. And it gives a good excuse to get some more Sarek in there, which is awesome.
We're getting more Vulcan culture, and that's like something that I've always thought would be interesting. Is like, what if a human child was found by Vulcans? What would they do?
Mm-hmm. I like how, like we saw in the 2009 movie, how Spock was accepted into science in the Vulcan Science Academy, but they kind of were disrespecting his mom, and Spock essentially said, "Fuck you guys, I'm going to Starfleet."
Yeah.
And then you see here how, like, essentially Sarek was given the option, "Hey, one of your kids can go to the Vulcan Science Academy, but not both." So he had two, Spock or Michael. And so obviously he chose Spock, and then Spock just told the Vulcan Science Academy, fuck off. So none of them get to go.
Yeah, in very Spock fashion.
Yeah. He was very respectful when he said, yeah, fuck off, guys.
No. This Spock hasn't spent time with James T. Kirk yet. So, you know, like,
yeah,
if he had, he would have told him to piss off. Mm-hmm. Presuming James T. Kirk is about as brazen as, I don't know. Is this like, are we getting Chris Pine, James T. Kirk, or are we getting, William Shatner?
Oh, when James we get, Kirk well, Discovery, well, I'll tell you, we aren't there yet, but Discovery will get to Spock. We aren't going to get Kirk in Discovery, though.
Do we at least get Bones?
No, we haven't had a Bones casting yet. No,
blasphemy.
Mm-hmm. The Harry Mudd one was kind of, it was dark for Harry Mudd, but it was kind of fun.
It was, and we're getting more into the chief engineer and like the augmentation he did, which I kind of am happy, but like I feel it was just glossed over again in this series of episodes, and I want that episode. Like, I thought we were getting it this block, but nope.
Because that episode, instead of having Michael be the kind of the main hero, it was Stamets. So that was kind of nice. Although, primarily what Stamets was doing was relaying stuff to Michael so that she could know what to do in each repeated timeline. And then after that, it was the episode where Ash and Michael and Saru are on that planet, and Saru decides he's kind of on board with the people of the planet, and he's going to be super peaceful. Yeah, that episode, I think that was a two-part, too, because that leads into the Klingon stuff, kind of almost the semi-end of the Klingon conflict.
Yeah.
Which, where essentially the planet decides to summon a representative from the Klingon and the Federation, and and then Lorca has Stamets do, like, what, 160 jumps or something?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, it was something insane. So he'd get coordinates and do this special trick kind of to end the conflict. But then he uses those coordinates and type them into the ship's computer to do one last jump, and then that's where they end up in the Mirror Universe. Crazy fun. And yeah, I as much as I love Deep Space Nine, I do feel like they did the Mirror Universe stuff a bit too much. And they did the Mirror Universe stuff like one episode a season between seasons 2 and 7. They don't spend a third of a season in the Mirror Universe like we're about ready to in Discovery, which is questionable at best. But we'll see. Like I said, maybe it'll play out better. They do that one thing that I kind of hate. Like, I think it's a good dramatic thing, but of course, Stamets and Culber are a couple. And of course, Ash kills Culber once he starts finding out that, like, he's been surgically altered. Really playing into the kill your gaze trope, which, if this was back in the early 2000s, it wasn't really an established trope yet, but it was well established as a trope here, and it felt kind of like they should have known better. We will see it play out, though. I am enjoying this season more than I did the first time I watched it, because this is only my second sit through at this point, and it's been since the series first aired, so 2017, so it's been 6.5 years since I've seen it. I mean, I am enjoying it more on the second watch. But yeah, we will see how it plays out, because we're just getting to the point where I was kind of not thrilled with the watch through. But yes, that is it. Chuck Wood, hey, Bob and Bobby. Hope you guys are doing well. Spent most of last week rewatching James Bond movies and was wondering, what's your guys' favorite overall Bond movie? Mine is GoldenEye.
Ooh, overall.
It has to be Casino Royale.
Oh, yeah, I agree. You know, Woody Allen is great as the bad guy.
No, you know damn well that's not what I mean.
I know, I love to make that joke to you every time you say that, though. Oh, overall, that's tough.
That movie.
That's tough. I'd say I could pick my favorite out of each actor, and I mean, George Lazenby is just, you know, that's he has one.
Well, that's easy.
That's easy, course, but also really good, still a great movie. Still a great Bond movie.
Like, he had one outing, and it was a really good outing.
Let's see, Connery.
God, naming best of each actor.
It's a tie between. It's a tie between You Only Live Twice and Goldmember.
It's Goldfinger for me.
Yeah, Goldfinger.
That might be the most questionable Connery stuff, and he does questionable stuff in his movie.
Yeah, he does he says some questionable shit in both of those.
Goldfinger is like impossible not to enjoy.
Well, Goldfinger also features my favorite Death of a Henchman, so that's why. That one poor henchman who gets stuck behind a vault door as he's reloading his gun, and the door just
closes.
But that has like. I don't know. I really love the bad guy in that one. That's Blofeld, but I also love the decoy, Sada Industries. I love him going to the office, fighting the goon, destroying the office, and just destroying it. And then the next day, it's perfectly fine. I love Tiger's secret hidden base, how Bond chases the girl and goes to an underground base. Tiger is a great character as well. Roger Moore, Man with the Golden Gun.
Yeah, you know, that one gets underrated a lot, but I cannot help but enjoy a movie with
Timothy Dalton, though. I would have to say View to Kill. License to Kill is good, too. View to a Kill and License to Kill are both great movies. I can't pick between those.
Sucks. I don't know what you're talking about.
That's why it's so great. No. License to Kill. License to Kill is good, yeah.
Pierce, yeah,
I'd say GoldenEye for Pierce. That one's pretty good. Although Tomorrow Never Dies is a great follow up. After his kind of go downhill, I think. And for Daniel Craig,
which is kind of
Casino Royale is good. I kind of like Spectre though. Like, I really enjoy Spectre.
You see, I enjoy Spectre for the most part. I think it does get shit on unfairly. If we want to shit on a Daniel Craig movie, Quantum of Solace absolutely exists, guys.
Absolutely.
It's pretty rough. Spectre is a movie where I feel like almost I want to say the entire first act is just solid, like James Bond gold.
Mm-hmm.
And then I love whenever James Batista is on screen as just like the heavy, just going after Bond. I love that stuff. The Blofeld stuff does weigh it down a bit, I will say. But like, I don't think it's a terrible movie by any means.
Just disagree with that, but okay. But we did do a deep dive into Bond in an earlier podcast.
Yeah. We talked a whole bunch of Bond.
That's
going to be on the podcast channel.
Yeah. And if you dig deep enough, you might find it. It'd be interesting to see how our opinions changed over time. Probably not.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure those are. I'm pretty sure I stand by You Only Live Twice, because that one is fucking great. A helicopter picks up a guy chasing Bond and dumps them into the river. That's fucking great.
I mean, I actually do think it's kind of wild, because I'll see something old of mine and I'll like listen to my old opinions and be like, actually, I still agree with that. That happens more often than not. It's not that often I'm changing my mind on
Goldfinger still has some iconic stuff in it that is just classic Bond. You know, like, do you expect me to talk? No,
the woman who dies in gold paint. That is just iconic imagery from Bond at this point.
Yeah. I don't know what his problem is against the Beatles, though. I still don't get that.
Oh, yeah. That was just kind of like, what? The Beatles is great. Fuck you.
And, like, when did this come out? 63? Oh, maybe you just don't like pop music, man. They just haven't made Rubber Soul yet. It's cool.
That's true. They haven't hit peak Beatles yet, so.
They didn't start smoking pot yet. It's cool. They were just on amphetamines.
No, I think, what I think is interesting about Daniel Craig is I think an argument can be made that, and I would make the argument that I think Casino Royale, his first movie, is the best James Bond movie.
Yeah.
And I think a weaker argument, but an argument can still be made that Quantum of Solace, his second James Bond movie, is the worst James Bond movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe when we did our James Bond, we even wrote our own pitch for a movie.
Yeah, we did do our own pitch for a James Bond follow-up to No Time to Die, which is a very good movie. I don't think it's as good as Casino Royale or Skyfall, but I think it's a very solid James Bond outing. It's a great ending for that run of the character.
Yeah. As I recall, I brought back everybody through DNA.
There you go.
And we casted it. We gave our own casting too. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we asked the fans for the mixing of the cast. And since I decided to do kind of do a twist and actually follow up with the James Bond or the Daniel Craig continuity and have a woman just take over the role. Most people didn't like my pick of that. But most people did like my romantic interest. So what ended up being a thing where Richard Madden would be James Bond.
Yeah, because that's who I casted. Interest, yeah.
Yeah, and then his romantic interest was going to be Henry Cavill.
That's right.
Okay, cool. Right. Woke as fuck. We're doing it, guys.
But as voted by our fans.
Yep. But yeah, that was fun. What am I doing?
That was
like
hella
that?
Fun. We should. Let's see.
Oh, what's left? Oh, Fallout. We have Fallout left. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that is a thing that we
have. Well, I will say, like, have you played video games at all?
Never in my life.
Yeah. All I could tell you going into this was there is a video game series called Fallout. This is based on, and that video game series features that smiley face guy with the thumb up. You know, and if I were to guess from the title, I would assume it's about, you know, the Fallout
nuclear
catastrophe. But
yeah,
I don't know that. Yeah, but yeah, I did remotely know what this was kind of about into it. And a lot of the first episode is kind of just set up. And while I think it does a really good job with the setup overall, it's a lot to kind of get into at first. And I'll be blunt, that's kind of my biggest complaint of the series. Just getting into it was a bit much at first. Because as the episodes went by, I was getting more and more into this. And then when I reached the end of episode 4, I was like, oh, I have to stop for a little bit, because I was ready to roll right into episode 5 at that point. So yeah, I would say overall I'm really enjoying this. Where you at, Bobby?
Sorry, I just dug up my old casting list of James Bond. I haven't played the game, so this
yeah,
is just
I haven't
kind of
at all.
All new information and like media for me. I'm enjoying the story they're telling so far. I think it gets in the sense of like a flow. I think it gets a bit choppy jumping from the three stories they're telling at once.
Yeah.
At least, and somehow kind of interweaving together. I just kind of have a feeling that all three of these characters are just going to be teaming up at some point, and I just kind of feel like at this point they should just do it and get it over with.
Yeah. I'm kind of enjoying it because, I mean, for the most part, the ghoul is kind of set up as a villain. Fucking Walton Goggins is fucking
great.
He's great in everything, but yeah.
As soon as I saw him, I was like, wait a minute, is that? Oh shit, he's in this? Oh fuck yes. Let's just buy it. Fuck yes.
Yeah, no, like I said, I went into this fairly blind. Essentially, I went into this going, oh, there's a video game series called Fallout, and essentially I was like, well, that's probably going to be popular. I guess I should add to the list. And yeah, so going into this kind of blind, all I know is the smiley thumbs up guy. And
yeah,
I'm into this. Like I said, like my biggest complaint is that the first episode's a bit much. Like, I'm not going to lie, there's a couple moments where I went and looked up something on my phone. All of a sudden something drastic happened because lots of drastic things happen in this series. You can't really look at your phone at all. So don't. But there are little moments where I get a little bored, so I will look at my phone, and then all of a sudden I have to rewind it like 30 seconds because something fucking happened.
Yeah, agreed.
And I guess that's like really a point in the series' favor, that like this is something that really you need to be engaging with it. Because like I said, I think this is really good. I'm really enjoying what the series is doing so far. As I get more into the flow and the characters, I think Walton Goggins is great as always. Lucy is quickly becoming a badass. You know, as the show sets up, she's the first character kind of established as, you know, she's a vaulty. Like, so it takes place 219 years after a nuclear bomb pretty much destroyed the world. Not sure how the war started, but you know, it happened, and now we're 219 years later, and we start out in this vault that is very happy and kind of creepily happy. And they've decided that Lucy's going to hook up with a person from another vault, and you know, they'll have a family and raise them in the vault, and you know, and there's almost this sad scene where like, the dude's like, oh, the door's not opening. We won't be able to do it today. And then Lucy's like, oh, I know you just don't want to open the door. And he's like, I love you, Lucy. And she's like, oh, that's sweet, but we're cousins. And it's like, oh, God damn.
Oh, God. What? Well, my first to that, I was like, oh, God. It's like, oh, well, yeah. They're all underground. So
they don't have a whole lot of options. So it's like, okay, I get it. You have hormones, but.
Gross.
Oh, God, no.
Gross.
Yeah, no, that won't work, buddy. That won't. Kyle MacLachlan is her dad, who's barely in the series so far. I'm assuming he'll pop up later. But yeah, he gets kidnapped, and she goes on a quest in the overworld to track him down. And that's where we meet Maximus, who is part of this group that has these knights, which are essentially just mini mech suits that are fairly badass. And then we also meet Walton Goggins as the ghoul, who we also saw in the past as like this cowboy at a party. And then we later see he's an actor. And it seems like it's the same character. So I assume we're going to get a lot more backstory to explain person. That, yeah, how it happened.
I kind of want to see more of that.
Mm-hmm. And then the other character I have a lot of questions about is the dude who's, I mean, he's headless now. It's the
doctor?
Michael Emerson. Yeah, Michael Emerson, the dude who had the dog. Because it seemed like he was part of some old... And I got the impression it was before the catastrophe, but maybe it was during the catastrophe, but he was part of some lab where they were experimenting on the dogs. And there's definitely more backstory going on there. So yeah, at this point I have a lot of questions, but I'm engaged. The show does a good job of, like I said, the worst part is just getting through the first episode, which is 75 minutes. It's going to lay a lot of stuff onto you, but once you kind of get used to the world and how things are just fucking crazy up here, it gets kind of cool. And I'm really enjoying it now, and I want more. Yeah, I mean, cousins. I mean, they're in a vault. They're not in West Virginia. That's unacceptable.
Well, maybe that, you know, like, they never wrote. Like, I'm pretty sure this takes place in California, but
I don't know if it matters. Yeah, I'm not sure exactly where it's supposed to take place. California would be my guess, since the Walton Goggins character is an actor.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is, I'm really, really enjoying this, and I want to see how the season ends at this point. I will say, of the three actors, Maximus is the one that is not thrilling me as much, but you know, he might grow on me as the scene goes through. But yeah, Lucy and the ghoul, Walton Goggins. Lucy is Ella Purnell. Those two, I am digging their characters and their storyline. Lucy, especially at the end of the last one, where she's like, her body parts are sold, and she just kind of, you know, fucks things up in that place and lets all the people they had locked up go, and even helps the ghoul a bit, because she's decided she doesn't want to be a piece of shit in this new world. She's coming off fairly badass too. So yeah, we'll see how the overall season plays out. I'm digging it. Bob, you have anything to add?
Yeah, I'm interested to see how this all plays out. Definitely. Like, I'm interested in where the story's at currently. Oh,
there's Michael Emerson.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I'm still just taking all of this in. I've never played the games or have any idea behind any of the lore, other than it's about nuclear fallout and scavenging. That's about the extent of my knowledge of Fallout.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think you went into it a bit more than I did, because I wasn't really sure at all.
Yeah, I knew the game was about scavenging. Yeah, and
yeah, it's an open world game, I think. So, like, I don't even know how much.
And it has a horrible targeting system, in my opinion. I also think the targeting system is pretty terrible, but that's just my take as a gamer.
And we got Walton Goggins as the ghoul there.
Mm. Oh, hey, Bob of the old ways.
Mm-hmm.
He's in the chat.
Yeah. We probably do have to duel at some point, Bob of the old ways, don't we?
Probably. Step siblings, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Dude.
Mm-hmm.
That whole giant spree scene in the first episode, the girl with the eye patch, that reminded me
her losing that eye was pretty fuck. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I wasn't shocked, because I mean, you know, Amazon has The Boys and Gen V, and that was quite violent, both of those. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm excited to see where it is. I'm enjoying Walton as his character, because he's just fucking great in everything he's in.
Yeah.
What would you say your favorite role is that you've seen him in?
You know, I've been brain farting really hard on this, because it's the movie I always default to with him. It's the Quentin Tarantino one where they're in the cabin.
The Hateful Eight.
Thank you. Yes, Hateful Eight. I don't know why I could not think the title of that for the past.
He's great. He is great in that.
Yeah.
I really love him in Righteous Gemstones.
I want to note, we didn't say Ant-Man and the Wasp, because.
No.
No.
I mean, yeah, he's in it, but.
Yeah. Bob the Old Ways, I don't know why I'd put my affairs in order. I'll be fine. You're the one that's going to be in trouble, buddy. When we eventually duel, you know. Good old duel. But yeah, let's see, what do we have on the agenda for tomorrow?
Tomorrow?
Not.
What's this?
Yeah, not for tomorrow. Not tomorrow. Not tomorrow.
What?
We have to. No, we're doing this every day now, Bobby.
Oh man.
Fuck sleeping schedule.
Next week, I believe we have.
Oh, God damn it. Okay, so Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. I don't know what to expect of that, but Guy Ritchie's usually fun, so I'm down for it. We're doing the last half of Fallout season one, or I don't know if this is probably just season one, but we're doing the last half. I'm excited because I've enjoyed the first half, and then fucking Rebel Moon, too.
Oh.
It will be fun to tear that one a new one.
Woof.
I know. The only good thing about Rebel Moon 1 was the ability to tear it up. Was he?
Agreed. That movie sucked. I was talking with my coworkers about Rebel Moon this past weekend. Like, I was apparently in the minority of who hated it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That movie is just so poorly made.
It was.
And Zack Snyder, like, I think he could potentially have been talented, but I feel like he's a guy who's gotten all caught up in his own fucking fan base and his whole, like, and how much they love him. He's gotten caught up in that do no wrong stuff. And now he just, you know, he's making high budget movies that look like shit.
To me, it just kind of seemed like he really wished he made Star Wars.
I know. It's
interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
But apparently I was the only one who hated it. So
don't worry, Bobby. I'm there with you.
Oh, I know that. I know that. That was like, it sucked.
Like, the first shot was so clearly on a fucking sound stage. And it's like, Zack Snyder, visuals are your specialty. How are you doing this? We will see. I'll re-up my fucking Netflix for that.
Yes. So that's what we got on the agenda for next week.
Yes.
We want to thank everybody for watching today.
Yeah.
Since we didn't have the intro, I will just do it now. If you like what you see, please like, comment, follow, subscribe. You could follow Chaos on his channel. You could follow me on mine, or even the podcast channel. But thank you very much for watching, and have a great night.
Yes, have a good one. Like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe.